Thank you, Dad. I'm going to ask my kids, if y'all would you distribute these? I did not do this ahead of time. If y'all will take those and just hand these out, one to each family. Yeah, just hand one of those out to each family. Just go on one side. Thank you. So good morning. Oh, what a great day to be here. I'm glad that you are, and I'm glad that the Word of God can be the source of instruction for us. Today what they're handing out is a basic outline, and I'm going to put it up on the screen here as well. But today's message is a word to fathers. And the outline for today is what we're going to see that we're going to be going over and covering is trust only in the work of Christ. God has full ownership. You have full stewardship. Teach the character of God and not yours. Apply God's discipline structure. Lead your family to the Lord. And last, to be strong in the Lord. As I was preparing for today's message, I want you to know that I thought back through the different things that that I have seen, not only in my own life, but in the life of other men and in Scripture, related to fathers. And when I consider the Word of God and its instruction to fathers, I mean, it's really crammed packed from the very beginning. It's filled from the very beginning of when sin entered the world. It taught fathers from then on out why we're dealing with all the things that we deal with in the world in which we're living in. It's been full. And so what I wanted to do is to somehow summarize just some of the points so that you would know and that you'd be able to be encouraged this morning. I pulled up the wrong slide, if you're wondering why I seem to be going a little slower. So today is a great opportunity to encourage you guys. What I've realized is this, is that men, a lot of times, especially on Father's Day, there's this great hype because you're excited about the day. It's a joyful day for me. It's one of my favorite days because I love being a dad. It's just something I really have always enjoyed. And then as I come into worship on the day of the Lord and I think about even whenever I'm receiving a message on Father's Day, I realize it's an opportunity for me to grow as a dad, as a father. And even I thought about that even as thinking with setting this sermon out. I've had so many people that's come to me before when I've been preaching, and usually, you know, I preach through a book of the Bible, obviously, is what we do here. And as we're preaching through, it just, whatever that text is, happens to just hit somebody and they say, you know what? I really feel like today's message was exactly for me. I can handle that. The other thing that I hear is when people come to me and they say this, though, did you prepare that message for me? And I'm thinking, that's a different question. Because then you think I'm really thinking about just you and I'm trying to work up this special message just for you. I just want you to know that hardly ever happens. Usually, if anything, I'm just trying to be obedient to this. My first audience has got to be the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. And it has to be to His Word. And then I tell you who second gets in line after that. I have to learn it myself. To be able to preach it to you, I've told you so many different times, I can't preach it if it hasn't preached to me first. And so usually there's quite a bit of not only study, but repentance, prayer, surrounded around studying for you guys. And so usually by the time I get to preparing the message, trust me, I am not thinking about anybody else in that moment. I'm thinking about declaring the Lord. Well, today I wanted to clarify the message to you up front. I want to clarify by making a couple of statements for you. This is not a sermon for men, manhood, or husbands. It's not a sermon to address the world's philosophy and influence. I'm not going to spend any time going over that. It's not a sermon for men who have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ. It's not a sermon to teach men how to leave a legacy. It's not a sermon to give fathers a little boost of energy to keep trying. I even thought it's not a sermon for future fathers or fathers that no longer have children in their home. Now, I want you to know, I think this message will affect those areas I said it's not towards. I think it can have an effect on them. But in preparing for today's message, I wanted to be clear. Today I'm speaking directly to fathers who have children in their home. You have a specific calling on your life. And my goal is to call from the Word of God, to fight today as hard as I can from the Word of God to equip you. Because I realize it's a special period in the time that you're living. You're in the heat of it. You're in the battle. And the church needs to be the pillar and ground of truth. It needs to be the answer. And if we can focus this morning again on these men and the calling which they have, again, the others will be edified. You're always going to be edified through that. But what we need, in all cases, when the Word of God is speaking directly to people, we need those people honoring and doing exactly what the Word of God calls them to do. And so I'm praying, and I have prayed for you men, because the Word of God can encourage you, first of all. Something that you need. Listen, I know this. Being a father is not easy. I also know this, that the Word of God can challenge you. Fathers need to be challenged. It can also correct you. I'm praying that today, if you feel any correction, you do not see it from a father standing before you who has this completely figured out. You will see no correction from me. But I can tell you that the Word of God has the power to correct. And it can direct you to Christ. As a matter of fact, all the points that we're going to be discussing today, I'm praying that we will push the work of Christ in all points. That Christ becomes the center of the Father's mind in his home. That he thinks through the lens of Scripture and about Christ as he carries out his special calling. And it's not hard to understand why this is so needed. It's not hard to figure out why this is such an important message and why fathers need it. And so, without taking too much time, we're going to get in to the first point, the very first thing. And the first one we're going to deal with, trust only in the work of Christ. Fathers, I'm going to say it to you again. Trust only in the work of Christ. I had a good friend of mine who used to be a member of our church. He's moved off. His name is Timothy Hughes. Many of you guys know Timothy. Well, it's recently Timothy had the opportunity to bring his firstborn into the world. He got to see this happen. And so he texted me some pictures of it. I wanted to put them up here. I just didn't have the time. I didn't take the time to do that. But it's a great picture of Timothy kneeling over his child, just looking down at his newborn son. And I think that many of you can remember what it was like when your firstborn son or firstborn daughter came into this world. Here's the statement that he said that stuck out to me. Because this came in the preparation, matter of fact, of this week. And I thought, man, this is just so good. I need to repeat this. What a sense of total inadequacy for the task. Maybe that's how you felt. I know it's definitely a strange feeling when you leave the hospital. I know for sure that I think every parent has seen that as they release you, you're looking back for some help or somebody to come with you. Like, I don't know about this. Man, I want to challenge you today to trust only in the work of Christ. Your children have not been given to you because you're adequate. Let me say that again to you. God himself did not look down from heaven and say, I'm going to give you these blessings and these trials because you're adequate. Yes, I said trials. We're going to keep it real today. And the very first point, what I want to do is take away, remove any sense of power that you may think you have. I want to take a little bit of time and just strip that out of you so that you don't, as the other points that we say, when I'm going to try to encourage you to add something to put Christ in your life, that at no point do you start to think, I've got the power to do this. I am getting encouraged and I can't wait to go out and carry this out. I cannot embolden you in your own strength. I think it would not be proper. And the scriptures that back this up, the Psalms 147 and verse 1 through 13. You can turn there with me. I'm going to read three verses of scripture as you think about this. Let the word of Christ sink into your mind and instruct us. Psalm 147 says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. Listen to this. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He cast the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. What a great declaration of praise. What an accurate declaring of who God is in all the realms in which he controls. And this isn't even all of them, but it is the God who controls everything and feeds and takes care of everything. And in the middle of him declaring who he is, he says, let me make sure you understand something. I take no pleasure in the legs of a man, meaning I take no pleasure in the strength of a man. What can men do? Nothing without Christ, our Lord. Turn me also to Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Jeremiah 9:23 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. I will get to the application in a minute. But men, fathers, we think that we are wise. And the scripture tells us, be careful. And put it another way, let your wisdom be in the Lord and his word. One more I want to read to you is Deuteronomy. You can turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3 says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Fathers, I want to develop in you a dependency on the work of Christ in your life. Because he says, and I know that he will do this, if you try to live in your own strength, and you try to just keep pushing forward and just keep pushing forward and keep going and keep going, God may be leading you into a position of humility, trying to show you that you are doing this on your own strength and without him. Matter of fact, the more that we read about the character of God, it should almost be an encouragement to you men, to you fathers that are in the middle of this, to say, look, there's so many times in which this just seems to be so difficult, but for you to say, you know what? If I rely on the strength of the Lord and I see where he is at, think about the strength that comes from following after him. Because all you have in Scripture is a promise, is that if you will follow Christ, there's blessings. And if you won't, there's only cursings. And there's only chastening for believers is what will happen. He will chasten you. And I'm glad that we have a God that chastens us. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But we have a God who chastens us. So what I want to make sure that you can do is understand that before we go anywhere this morning is to humble yourself before the Lord. Just take a humble yourself by presenting yourself unto the Lord and think about the calling by which you have right now in your home and humble yourself. And what I want you to do is to use Scripture. Use Scripture to do that. Scripture itself will put you in the proper position. And it won't be like somebody else who just constantly tells you, you're a failure, you're a failure, you're a failure, you're a failure, right? There's always, you're going to have things that are telling you, I'm not doing this as good as I need to do it. I'm not doing this as good as I need to do it. Over and over, God is going to say, any work that's going to be done, I'm going to do it. It develops even a sense of prayer in a father to say, Father, I need your work in my home, right? It starts to evoke prayer. If you're not, let me say it a different way. If it doesn't lead you to prayer, then there's a very good chance that you haven't humbled yourself. There's a very good chance that you have not got to the point where you're seeking for the wisdom of God in your life and in your home, looking for him to do the work. Because if we're not led to asking him to do the work, then it probably appears as if we're still trying to do it, right? And sometimes it takes a little time, doesn't it, to slow down. It takes a little time to slow down. Now we may be, listen, the fathers that are believers, I'm speaking to you. Listen, I understand you have biblical principles by which you know how to live by. But how many times do you find yourself on your knees praying and saying, listen, my resources and myself are empty. And God, I need you to do a work. That's the position of a humble man, I believe. And I think we have plenty of illustrations through Scripture. So trust only in the work of Christ, and I promise you, it will make you have joy because you'll see it happen. It's a promise. Think about the promise you have in your home from the Lord. It will happen. Next, God has full ownership. You have full ownership. Stewardship. It's easy for fathers to fall into a trap of assuming and thinking full ownership of my kids. And I get that. You know why? Because they are ours, aren't they? What is special about this day for me as a father is those two kids sitting right there. Because I wouldn't have the title of dad if it wasn't for them. And God has given these children or your children to you. But fathers, remember something. They are not yours. They have been created Think about this. They have been created by God with souls that last into eternity. Get that. They were actually brought into this world. Life was breathed into them, and their soul being established then is established for all of eternity. Let's read a couple of verses of Scripture before we get to some applications. Colossians chapter 1. So many here, again, that we could turn to set this in place. But Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 says this. This section on Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, let's say that again, all things, that includes our kids, were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is head over the body, the church of God, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. All things have been created for Him, through Him, and for Him. That declares ownership. Full ownership. Proverbs. I can turn to one more. Proverbs chapter 22. You can listen. It says this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Here's the two things I want you to grasp. God's full ownership. Your temporary ownership. Your, listen to this, limited ownership. Your ownership over your kids is limited by Him. It is yours, but it has limits. And I'm thankful to know that God owns them. And then everything that God gives to you through Scripture, it does not speak to you. It does give you. It does give us fathers as instructions, right? Here's what you should do with the being a good steward of what I've entrusted to you, right? All the Scripture, like train up a child in the way he should go, speaks to you. Here's how you live out your stewardship for what you have. Here's what you're supposed to be doing as a father for your children. And over, any other Scripture we're going to pull in this morning, well, you can think through that, those two things. God owns them, but here's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I love that because, again, you know what young or any age father really needs? He needs the instruction, doesn't he? Again, we're here in a position to be able to give fathers instruction, not for them to just send out, like, let's just go send them out in the world and let them get beat up with the whole world system. No, listen, here's your task. And in doing that, again, when you understand that, when you understand what your stewardship is, it starts to remind you over and over again, well, what should your days look like? I don't know if you ever had somebody do this in your workplace, but if you've ever been struggling with something in work, and if you take pride in your job and you want to do it well, and then you realize you made a mistake or something like that, or you didn't know how to do something, somebody comes alongside of you to help you out and teach you, say, hey, look, come here. We need to do something a little different here. I can remember one of my early jobs, I was working at Lowe's in the lumber yard section, and the lumber is wrapped in some metal bands. Well, what happens, those metal bands, what happens is the wood gets shipped out dry, and then it gets rained on, and then it swells, and pressure gets on those metal bands, and they're metal. Well, I was working on some, and a coworker, I was pretty early on, comes over and says, hey, listen, you need to put some safety glasses on. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a young man. I don't like safety glasses. I don't like safety gloves. I really don't like safety ear things at this age of my life. Now it's totally different. Now if you see me cut the grass, I got all this stuff on. But I didn't like those kind of things. But he told me what to do, and I put it on. And I snapped the band, and it hit me right at my glasses. Just, shh. I was thankful. I was instructed. What happens when fathers go back to understanding stewardship, it says, this is what I must do. This is where I need to go. Because the world won't teach you that. And you're going to get lost along the way. That's what's going to happen. So it becomes a training. God trained me for my stewardship. And it becomes even more, okay, I messed it up. Train me for my stewardship because you have an interest in my children. And in that as well, placing them under, to in your mind, understand that they have a heavenly Father that owns them. It's just a huge amount of weight can come off of a father's shoulders knowing that the Father in heaven knows them well. Fathers, I want you to learn to teach them the character of God and not yours. Regretfully speaking, so many times we're actually pushing our agenda on our kids instead of God's character. So many times we are interacting with our kids and telling them, this is what you will do. But in all honesty, it is, this is how you will serve me. I'm saying it, and I hate to say it. Fathers, do not fall into this. It is so easy, but it's so short-sighted. Because in so many different scenarios, we have the opportunity to teach them the character of who God is. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now I get what I'm reading here in this section. It's written to children. But on what basis is the command coming to the children? It's telling them to obey your parents in the Lord. This is a command from God. And he even says more of this. It's a command with a promise. So the character of God is at work in your child's life. And we cannot separate that. There, even their obedience unto you is obedience ultimately unto who? God. It's not you that they're ultimately obeying. It's not even, it shouldn't even be our goal. But it comes out so many different times. And again, my mouth gets trained to say it over and over again. Oh, yes, you will obey me. Where are you going? I don't think so. I mean, so many things that I put in there. How much stronger would it be to slow down and say, let's talk about God's character. And I know that you don't want to follow after me. Would you be willing to follow after God? Psalm 78. Psalm 78 has become one of my more favorite verses of Scripture as a father. To lead you into it's because it's given me some really clear instruction of how to train my children. And it's also at the end of it, there's a warning that if you don't do this, or if you don't carry this out, then our children can become like other fathers that, or like fathers that's writing to that did not respect the Lord and fell away from Him. So this is what it says about teaching them the character of God. It says, listen, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. It says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Just listen to this. There's in this written to the Jewish people, there's been a carrying, they've carried on what God has done. They passed this down. They've instructed them. It says, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Let's just see this. The first and foremost, we are going to tell this generation and the next one the praises of the Lord. We're going to tell them about this and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Now, in the writing in Psalm, the psalmist that wrote this, do you think he had a context to be able to go to them and say, this is everything that God has done. Let me tell you about what God has done. Listen, we read the Old Testament as if it didn't really happen. For some people, it is. There's some really huge miracles that happened in the Old Testament. Well, some of those people lived through that, right? Let me tell you about God parting the sea. What about great-granddad sitting down and telling grandkids, let me tell you about what happened that day. You think those are interesting stories? Yeah, I think so. You think the ones that were led out in the wilderness were interesting stories? Yeah, I think so. You just work through and you see all these things. You say, listen, these are all the things, the wonderful works that God has done. For He says, He established a testimony, meaning God, again, God's character, God's the one that established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which He, listen to this, He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Now you're onto something. Learn who God is, what He's done, learn His laws, teach them to their children. And this is what I love about it. Here's the part that I would love when it says, train up a child in the way he should go that he may not depart from it when he gets old, right? Does every believing parent really wants this, don't they? They really want, it is like, until you can see your children solid in the faith, you're always, and probably for the rest of their life, you're going to be praying, keep them in the faith, keep them in the faith, right? What I love about Psalms right here is it tells me what to do, but it doesn't use terminology like they are going to follow after the Lord. Listen to the terminology that it puts in there. That the generation, I'm in verse 6, 78 verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. The children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright. Just think about that. Just think about what they did. That they might, right? What does it tell us to do? Teach them the character of God. Teach them the works that God has done. Again, I'm speaking again. My voice, I think, is bouncing off that wall and is coming back to me. Stop at some point and tell them what God has done in your life. Turn to the pages within Scripture and say, this is why. This is why. This is what He has done. They know you're believers, right? They know that you respect the Lord. You're believers. They see the actions that you're doing, right? Add to that, and especially stress to them the character of God so that they might do this, right? They might set their hope in Him. That they may. That they will keep His commands. Teach them who God is and how He responds in situations. Right? hey, here's who God is. Here's how he's going to respond. Hey, let me just tell you. I see what's going on. And take any situation you want, right? Anything that you see. You could be going down the road. We play games and the driving around in different times. I could probably drive down the road, analyze something that I see in this world around me, and then say, hey, let's just put God's character over this and see how he'd respond to whatever you're seeing. You could, in their own lives, you could see what's going on in their lives and say, hey, what should you do in this scenario? Teach them. What is God's viewpoint on these things? So many times we get so worried about so many things that are going on in this world around us. We see it, right? We see it. And then we really get scared because we realize the world system's pretty strong and they're teaching the message pretty clear. And I'm telling you, it's getting stronger and stronger. But listen, it was strong in the Old Testament. Lot missed it for a period of time, did he not? Lot finds himself in a city being so surrounded and not realizing, you know what, they're not going to stop. They're going to beat the door down. Sin will want to come into your home and beat the door down, basically. Sin is always around you. God has not told us to live in fear of that. He's told us to live in clarity with who God is in relation to it. And what a great thing for a parent to not teach or not stress, I am fearful of the world, but I am informed by who God is, and he's victorious over this world. Are we speaking fear into our kids? Or are we speaking the character of God into our kids? When we see things we don't like, or what comes out of our mouth, we don't like the things that people do, let's teach them about how God views those things. Christ, God, is the best example that we have if we can understand his character through them, isn't it? So I say not yours. God's character is so much better than ours. So much better. Another thing to remind you of this in his character. And Matthew 19 speaks to this. He loves your kids more than you do. Think about that. God loves your kids more than you do. His love is perfect. Matthew chapter 19 was a great time in which, the Pharisees are upset about the kids. I won't get too far off on a side moment of this. Kids are just in the way, and they're just annoying, and they're doing this or doing that, throwing football in the church again, or whatever it is. I've already broken that light over there myself. I still haven't fixed it, but Matthew 19, verse 13 says, "The little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and departed from there." I love that. God went into this society that says, hey, look, the little kids, just push them off to the side. We almost treat our kids as if they're not really, because it's like, well, you're a kid, you're not an adult. Well, they're standing before the God doesn't create that kind of divide, does it? Let's think about our kids before the Lord. Does it create this big divide? Like, you just don't know yet. So you don't know how to respond to God. And you are not going to know until later. And if you'll just do what I tell you to do, everything will work out. And maybe you'll be good one day. It is, God loves them. And God is looking down at your kids just as much as he's looking at your soul. And no matter what age they are, they have the same responsibility to respond to God as you do. It is not as if because they are underneath your umbrella that you can cover them. You can't cover them. They're in a relationship with their Creator. And so we get to come alongside them and teach them who that Creator is. And so we must understand and we must grow. You must grow in your understanding of the character of God. That's where you want to be, is growing in your understanding. I hope that these are starting to sink in and we're not very far. We have a few more to cover. This next one is apply God's discipline structure. I thought about this one not harder than the others, but it took me some time to work through it. And here's the observance that I have, is that when fathers are working within their homes, they have a special calling, as we said, but many fathers have not taken the time to study the Word of God and think through, does God have a discipline structure? Let's just get a little comfortable with the word discipline, because the world is not. It is growing, or maybe has grown, to where if a parent uses the word discipline in a sense, it seemed to be a negative thing. And a lot of parents, let me just say this, a lot of fathers struggle. And this is not me getting on a soapbox to try to tell you about how bad it is, but when I observe it, it breaks my heart. The same as I can still remember, it's been so many years, and I heard a father degrade his young boy so strongly that I almost was to tears because I heard the way he was talking to his son in public, and it was just so degrading. It broke my heart. I recently saw a young boy, about same age. I always do age and height, somewhere around here. I was walking out of a restaurant, and as I was approaching the car, this young boy that was struggling deeply. He was mad. He was frustrated. He physically was almost like shaking, like jumping, and was so mad about something. The father was in enough distance to give the boy his room and was talking to him as calmly as I've ever heard a father do. He's extremely calm in the moment and allowing his kid to struggle and struggle. And so he started to negotiate with his child on what to do, why his kid is halfway in the driving lane of the parking lot. I don't know what the full situation was, but my heart was hurt because the father was actually, in the world system, was doing everything probably the world had trained him to do. But he had no real structure. He had no structure that would help him. And unfortunately, his son was struggling because he was not applying the discipline in which God has given. And so what I want to do for you fathers is to just get you to see for a second. This one may take time away from today. I want to just give you a couple of verses of scripture that will train your mind. Is there a discipline structure that God has? We're not out of Hebrews yet, and it hasn't been very long that we were in Hebrews chapter 12. So you'll remember this, so I thought it would be important to use this one. Hebrews 12 and verse 9 says this. Actually, I'm going to back up. I'm going to back up to verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Listen to how much Christ has strived in these areas. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Now let's just stop and let's throw a couple of strong words out there. Chastening. Rebuked. Scourged. If you go and talk to somebody and say, listen, my structure for my home is I'm going to chasten my kids, I'm going to rebuke them, and I'm going to scourge them. If you say it with a little too much emphasis, then somebody probably will look at you and like, we need to talk, man. You seem a little too enthusiastic about this. maybe slow down, right? God has communicated himself, and he goes on and says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. See that? It seemed best to them. But he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I'm glad my father is sitting right there, because he didn't make it easy on me. I didn't like it when he told me what to do and what I couldn't do. I didn't like it when I couldn't do certain things, or he told me, I know that's happening, but we're not going to be there for that because it's in conflict with something I believe that we should be doing. So many times in my own soul, I didn't fully understand it even. But the rule was the rule. And he chastened me. And trust me, I was fearful of him. I found myself owning a BB gun, which I had certain rules of when I could use it. But I found my way, the opportunity to be able to sneak my BB gun outside and be able to go shoot with my friends at an empty lot, a wooded lot right beside the house. My father drove a 1968 Firebird every single day. When it turned onto the road from Highway 98, just about from there, you could hear the car. And as I'm playing out there, at some point, I hear the rumble of the car. Because I didn't have a watch, but I know that's Dad coming. And I take off like Rambo through the woods. I mean, my full scenery, I'm jumping, I'm running. I mean, I'm just serious. I can still remember, it was like I was excited to be running. Because I had planned a really good plan of what to do. I had my window cracked so I could set my gun inside. So I could play with it to the very last minute. And as I broke the tree line, I'm in stride about here, and my dad's car is just turning enough. Put the gun in the window, and I go back out playing. Fathers are actually pretty smart, aren't they? That seems a little strange. Goes inside. Sees a BB gun next to the window. How did they figure these things out? You know, some of the kids look at me like, how do you know these things? It's not too hard. I've been there, done that. I forgot I owned a BB gun. I had owned shotguns before I ever got my BB gun back. My dad gave me shotguns. He let me go hunting with shotguns, and someday he finds my BB gun. I'm like, oh, wow, I forgot I even had that thing. He chastened me. Fathers, if we don't understand and we don't implement a discipline structure like what God has, and we're not preparing our children to be disciplined by him, if we are worried and we're going to negotiate with our children, it's not going to teach them about who God is. God at no point has ever negotiated with my soul. He's never negotiated with me. He's only taught me his law and then chastened me and shown me whenever I've stepped outside of it and then brought me back to him. If you are not learning the character of God, you're going to mess this up. You have to learn the character of God so that you can do this, so you can apply it. And you must implement his rules. Implement his rules, not yours. Discipline that is hypocritical. Let me say that, because we can have hypocritical discipline. You can discipline your kids in a way in which God does not discipline you. Think about that. You can discipline them in a way that God does not discipline you. You can discipline them in a way that is selfish, that God would not do. It can happen. You can also, with your kids, you can apply punishment to them without it being connected to their relationship to God. We can apply punishment without it being an issue between them and God. Not saying there's moments for saying you will do this or you won't do that, and then you have to stop every single time. That's not what I'm saying, but just in your mind and in your thought process, understanding that they're in a relationship with God. I want to say this, fathers. Don't let any discipline take place without restoration. Discipline has always been for the purpose of restoration. We have been told to, God exercises discipline to bring us back to Him. And the discipline does continue, but it's always at its purpose is reconciliation. God is reconciling all things to Himself, right? That's what He's doing. He's reconciling us to Himself. That's what He's drawing us back into Him. So discipline for you fathers, if it doesn't include restoration, if we're skipping that step, our discipline is not the structure in which God has. We are failing at that point. Work towards the reconciliation. Let them know they've been restored. That doesn't mean, you know what? That's a great thing about consequences. You know what? Consequences come because they're making payment, restitution for what has been wronged. You've been wronged, and it has to be paid for. There's a consequence for it, isn't it? With God, He teaches the same thing. You've broken my law. There's a consequence, and it's sin. And God, by His grace, has restored us. So we teach them what it looks like to be reconciled. And I can tell you, we teach them, even in those moments, teach them what grace is even like. I had a great joy many a times when my kids were little, at some times to get them to instill the full fear of God in them. That was joyful for me at times. I'm sorry, kids, but there's times to invoke the full fear of God on what's going wrong to pull them back. And we treated some things really serious, like they don't run towards the road. We're not going to have a nice little conversation about you running towards the road or putting your finger in a light socket. You're not going to ever want to do that again. There's other times in which they messed up pretty severely, and I could give them opportunity to receive full grace that was undeserved and say, I'm absolutely going to forgive you. And then look at me like, are you sure? And then say later, hey, can I get grace again? They do something like, can I get grace? I'm like, good. Yeah, that means you got the first lesson. But you don't get grace always. With God, you do. But just for them to understand the purpose of grace in their life, right? We just need to implement how God, what He does in our own soul, and implement that with our kids in our home. Let your discipline structure line up with His. And I'm just going to tell you is that Proverbs as well speaks directly to this. I must read this one as well. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. And then if you turn over a little further to Proverbs chapter 13, I am sorry that this word is in there, but it is. I say I'm sorry, not really, but it is there that Proverbs 13:24 says this. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The world has taught that it's a wrong thing to spank your kids. And I do not promote any hatred. I do not promote any beatings. But the Word of God says, if you spare the rod, you hate the child. God uses terminology to help us to know how important these things are. And we struggle with them because we don't fully understand them. So if you're at that point of struggling and you realize, I don't know what to do here, sidebar, I'd be glad to talk with you. I'd glad to spend some time working through discipline structure that lines up with who God is. And I want you to know that you had that in your home. It's very, very important. And I love that it says promptly. Get it over with and get restored. Long discipline doesn't usually happen with God. Return to me quickly, right? No. Do 10 things, offer up 10 more sacrifices unto me. Come back today, let's do it again, and we'll keep doing it again, and maybe it'll be good enough. Restoration is quick, isn't it? When we turn to the Lord, God wants to tell us, I'm receiving you back. With our kids, though, we draw it out really, really long sometimes. Get to the point. Lead your family to the Lord. Joshua 24, verse 15. I'll be there in just a second. Verse 14, I'll go to that. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've heard this so many different times. Lead your family to the Lord. Joe, will you do me a favor? Is that AC on over there? I don't know if else is hot. Will you just turn that down for me? Thank you. Lead your family back to the Lord. Let them know that the whole world system is leading after other gods, right? There's all kinds of gods out there. Lead them to the Lord. Make it your purpose to lead them back to Christ. You need to be spiritually fit to lead them to Christ. Make it your goal to be spiritually fit to lead your family back to Christ, because there's so many opportunities for this. And I will say, sin is always in your home, isn't it? Wouldn't we love to take sin out of the home? I sure would love for it to quit coming from me. I would love to get sin out of the home. It's there. So who is, when sin is in the home, who's going to take the step and say, I'm going to lead us back to the Lord? I need somebody to be in a leading position to get me back to the Lord. Fathers, I'm telling you, take a leading position. Don't wait for anybody in the home. Don't delay until you think it's right. Lead them back to the Lord as fast as you can do it, and be willing to do it and stand firmly on who the Lord is. But you will have to be spiritually fit to do that. If you are struggling yourself, that's going to be hard, isn't it? But you still need to do it, don't you? It's your stewardship. Protect your family in all ways. Be strong in the Lord. Last point we're going to cover. Be strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. If there was a message to close out with, hey guys, get strong, right? And a lot of guys want to hear that, you know. Hey, build me up. Get me where I'm ready to go out and fight. Strengthen me, right? And sometimes amongst guys, we need to do that. Well, this verse of Scripture rightly gets you to the mindset of how to be strong in the Lord. Not how to be strong in your own strength, because it says in Ephesians 4, verse 10, it says, that's wrong. How about 6, verse 10? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There are so many evils in the day, so you need to understand what it means to be strong in the Lord. And it goes on and tell you what to do. Put on the full armor of God. But be, this is what I want to say, be on guard for your family. You're in a special time of your life. You have your spouse and you have your kids in your home. There will be particular sins that try to make its way into your home, won't there? You know what they are. They're going to come after you over and over and over again. Be on guard for them. Have victory over them. When you see them coming into the home, do what God tells you. Put on the full armor of God. Take up the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Do what it tells you to do in these situations. Fathers, understand when sin hits, you are on the front line and it will come for you. Sin wants to rule over your home. There's an evil system. So be on guard and be ready to stand strong. And do it and look for those things. And go out against those sins that are attacking your home. And one last one. And I wanted to make it a whole full point. Well, I just decided to put it underneath, be strong in the Lord. Because let me just say it this way. Fathers, there can be all kinds of sins that I don't know about that attack you. Every man, men have different sins and different things, right? Some it could be, I don't know, it can be anger. It can be bitterness, right? Those can be really strong sins that can come out against you, and you need to be on guard of those things. You need to make sure you're not provoking your children wrath because of the way you're responding in different things, right? There can be, so start to look for where those things are happening. So there can be a long list here. But there's one particular that I've seen that I want to just call out to you, and I want you to make sure that you get this. Because I've seen it attack a home. And here's what I want you to know. If you neglect this area, it will pull you out of your home. It will take you away from your kids in its purity. Fathers, do not neglect to live pure lives before the Lord. I could name the names and count the men who have been in my life that have fallen to sexual sins in their world, and it's taken them away from one of the most precious things in their world. It has driven them out of the home. And purity is something that we cannot mess around with anymore. It comes and it's as, and again, it's nothing new. And for men that think they're strong, David was given to us an example. You can't think of a stronger man than David. I love some men that are like, I'm good in whatever area of this. I'm thinking, I just need Christ. I need to keep my eyes on him. Because David fell. And keep something in mind. David fell. The first step in David's fall. Well, there's quite a few steps, actually. I don't have time to whole side. He didn't have accountability, for one. His accountability got lowered. But he saw. Man, I'm going to challenge you. Just last night, I installed some software in my phone that will tell my wife if anything appears somewhat objectionable on my phone, any slight search, it will alert my accountability partner. There is no way that anything is coming through this phone unless I figure it out or if I stop this program. If I do, she better come to somebody within this church. I did it because I want to lead and I want to ask every man and every woman that want to set up accountability to your devices. I know it's a strong statement to make here, but I have seen too many men that have fallen, and I'm tired of it. And I know that it's an easy trap for them. And every time you think, whatever you think, so-and-so wouldn't fall in this area, you get some mainstream guy, and I'm not even going to go into them right now, but we have mainstream men that have been faithful to the Lord, some that we have held up and have trained us in the Lord, great mighty men, and have fallen because they didn't have any level of accountability. Man, I'm going to challenge you. If there's a reason that you think you don't need to have that on your phone, that that's unreasonable for you, I would like to talk to you personally one-on-one. I would love to spend some time with you. I don't want this to be seen as legalistic, but we put protection on everything around us. You name, you start listing all the things that we put protection on. And then one of the biggest areas we're just being negligent in. So I'm asking you to follow my lead, man. And I'm asking you to get real accountability. And I'm asking you to do it for a reason, only that you would want to do it between you and the Lord, not because I'm saying it. But I'm telling you, it's an issue in the home. And I've seen it way too many times. And I love you, men. I love you, fathers. You are training me more than you know. I come in here week in and week out, and I see the way you relate to your kids. I see it on your face. I see that you're striving after the Lord. I see the way you respond to them. You men are doing a phenomenal job about keeping Christ-centered here. And I can't thank you enough for that, because it even establishes accountability with my own soul that I need to be a man and a father that God has called me to be. I love that about here. And it's not even that, to try to pull back in some of you men that have been there and done that. I need you in my life because you've been there and you've done it, right? I need the older generation teaching me. So I told you it wasn't prepared for you, but it doesn't mean there's not an application for you. We need you men here. But for the fathers that are in the trenches with their kids, we need to boost them up. For the single dads in our church, we need to be the source of strength for them. Or not the source of strength, pull them into the strength of the Lord. We need to be the pillar in the ground of truth for our men. That's what I want to do. I want a church that's known for equipping men and fathers to be fathers. And I pray that this message does exactly that. I pray that the things we've gone over, and what I've done is I've handed you out, if I can have one of those please, I've handed you out this piece of paper so that you can have an outline. But more than that, I want you to have a list of resources, and there's a lot more than this. On the bottom of this page, it's got, listen to me, A.W. Pink, it's called The Attributes of God. If you want to learn about who God is, I'm telling you, it's a great read and a study about the attributes of God. Catechism, if you want to know different catechisms, catechizing your children is huge. This morning, I will have them in, as soon as we're done, I have a booklet. It's called Helping Children Understand the Gospel. It has a series of devotions in the back of it that would lead you step by step on how to not only just share the gospel of Jesus Christ with your kids, just a great format. I want you to, if you're a dad, I want you to be able to get a copy of that. Share the gospel, go through it. I want you to, the software that I installed is called Accountable to You. There's other ones out there. That's the one that I selected. And I selected it from because it was a recommendation from a friend of mine. If you want to listen to podcasts, there's all kinds of good podcasts out there. There's one called Rooted Parent. If you want to drive around and listen to it, there's also a great one that they've done on boys. Exceptionally a good podcast. There's other podcasts out there, but it's called Rooted Parent. And I just had to put Psalm 78 down at the bottom because I'm just telling you, learn from Scripture. Let it teach you how to train your kids, speak to them the way that Psalm 78 does. Resources are there. So let's be a church of equipping, right? Let's be an equipping church. Guys, fathers, I want you to speak to one another. Older men, I want you to speak to the young men who are in the middle of it. Encourage them. Get in their business. Get in their business. Talk to them about the Lord. Talk to them about your strength and your failures, right? We need you. We need you. Unless we're I was at a point where I didn't want to get instruction. That's before I was saved, and I was pretty dumb. The more I learned, or the older I've gotten, I realized I need more and more instruction. I still need it. Let's develop a culture here. I hope that you've been encouraged. Let us pray together. Father, these points do not cover everything. But Father, I pray that these points will be used as a resource for these men. And I pray they will set their sights on you. And that out of this, that you will be glorified. That we don't develop just men that just seem to be strong, but that are strong in you. And they're putting their dependency upon you. You can be glorified in this. You receive the glory for this because you're at work. And I thank you for a church body where I can see it happening. Thank you for these men. But ultimately, Father, I give you the glory. Let you have preeminence. You be preeminent in this area of this church. You be preeminent in these fathers' lives as they live in their home with their kids. Father, let you be first is my prayer and my ask for you, from you in your name. Amen. Amen. So after every sermon, as you know, every